And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, August the 1st in the year 2020. Season 14, episode 23. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can. Our phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. Just go over there, ingamechat.net. Everything you need is right there. You can email us, everyone at ingamechat.com, or .net. Get it to find us on Twitter at ingamechat, Facebook, ingamechat, Twitch, ingamechat. Get the thing that we're doing there. Our groups on Xbox is ingamechat, you know. I don't know if we got something on PlayStation. We haven't really used PlayStation, but...
We got some on there.
Yeah, and then there's Discord and everything else. I should put those links. I should flesh those out some more so people have links to our Discord and stuff for the website.
I should learn Discord.
Not hard.
Yeah.
Not a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
Board is fresh and clean.
Good work.
So fresh and so clean. Clean. There we go.
Clap, clap.
Good work of cleaning a board. After you bought the materials.
No, still.
And the board. yeah, it wasn't that hard to clean, so. But yeah, thanks for doing that. So let's see.
As it looks on the internet.
Yeah. You can go to a website called nationaltoday.com, and it'll tell you, oh, well, that's fantastic to see. If you go to nationaltoday.com, it tells you what is the, like, okay, today is national blah, blah, blah. And today is apparently August 1st, universal birthday for shelter dogs. August 1st. So, yeah. If you didn't know, or if it's a shelter dog and they don't know the birthday, August 1st is considered the universal birthday for shelter dogs. That is not what I was looking for. It's National Mustard Day, National Girlfriend Day. It is Spider-Man Day as well. The reason I'm getting into this, and I thought there was a lot more than that, is because I swear I thought it was... And let me see. And it is. It's National Pinball Day. That's what I was looking for. It is National Pinball Day. Yeah, I know AC Wraith went to the website. Google Plus is there. Something that doesn't exist anymore. But Discord is not. Yeah, Discord wasn't a thing when we created all of this stuff. And Google Plus was. So we made a Google Plus page and everything else. So... You know, we'll go. I'll go into our website, see if I can you know, fix all that, and get that all squared away. Links to our Discord and links to everything else. So yeah, but it is. It's National Pinball Day. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to be playing any pinball today. I guess I could later tonight, but probably not. Maybe I'll stream some pinball tomorrow. Maybe I'll do a silver ball Sunday. Had not planned on that, but maybe I'll play some pinball tomorrow.
How long has it been since the last time you did that?
You know, I randomly did a table probably about a month or so ago. I randomly did a table. So we got emailed us, which we don't get a lot of email, and had a bunch of questions. I totally forgot the question. One of the questions was, when are you going to do some more pinball streams? And so... I decided I would make a video where I'm answering his questions while I'm playing pinball. And what did I play? I played Back to the Future. I played the Back to the Future table. Loved it. It was fantastic. Yeah. Loved that table. I'm tempted to go back to it for another stream session, but I'd rather play something I haven't played yet. And maybe even do one of the classic tables that that is on Pinball FX 3 now. And a lot of Williams tables.
It was a licensing issue a while back that had it go away, right?
Yeah, there was. And so they've got a bunch of tables there. I don't think I've played any of the I don't want to say the new tables, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I haven't played any of the older tables that have been ported over to...
It's new if you've never played it before, so yeah, have at it.
Well, that's the thing, though. I have played some of those before when they were real tables. Mm-hmm. I have not played them when they are, now that they are... And then I also played them when they were on, oh God, I can't remember what it was called. It was an app on iPad that I had that had a bunch of old school tables that they licensed and... before Pinball FX got the licenses. Yeah. And so I played them there. But I have not played any in the Pinball FX.
Can you recall the last physical table you've played? Before you went to digital or whatever?
I mean, the last physical table I played would have been something at... probably at, like, PAX or something. Mm-hmm. Hang on. Probably was Seattle was the last time I played anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I went to Shorty's and I played. Oh, I went to the Pinball Museum.
Yeah,
I went to the Pinball Museum. What table it was that I actually finished up playing and walked out of that building afterwards, I don't remember.
Yeah. I think the last one I played was over at GT was Doctor Who, the Doctor Who table. Before that was the South Park table.
Mm-hmm.
I remember playing that one. I remember.
That's right. They have a Doctor Who table over at GT, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I remember having the getting the angle right for hitting that little Kenny figurine in the South Park thing.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah. Just hitting it over and over and over again. It had a loop. As long as you hit the ball, put the ball in the right place, hold it, and then flick it at the right moment, you can get that loop over and over again. It was just bonuses all over the place.
Yeah, sometimes you can find that in some of those physical tables. You can get a rhythm going and just Taxi was a table that I played that was in the lobby of the movie theater that I used to work at. That had a situation where you could do had a left ramp and a right ramp, and you know, one fed out into the flipper to do the other, or whatever the case was. Mm-hmm. The way the exit was enough to set you up to send it back up the other ramp type thing. So there was that one, and the Getaway was another one that did that as well, where you could just get the pattern down, just back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pinbot or Bride of Pinbot might have had something like that as well. So, anyway, maybe I'll do today's National Pinball Day. Maybe I'll do a pinball thing tomorrow. I don't know. I really don't know. Wouldn't mind streaming something, though, as far as the pinball stuff was concerned. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, welcome to the show. I think I gave out our phone number. If you want to watch us on Twitch, you can go to twitch.tv, type in game chat, you can watch us live while we broadcast. With that being said, Mr. RJ, what have you played?
Same as last week. It was Phantasy Star Online 2, a little bit of that, but for the most part this week I've been playing Ghost of Tsushima, still making progress in that game. I've finally made it through Act 1.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting on Act 2.
How long did you play to get through Act 1?
Since launch.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've been putting in the game is basically exploration.
Mm-hmm.
I put it like this. Remember when Fallout was good? Like 3?
Man, I didn't play Fallout too much.
Okay, remember when Fallout 3 had that whole exploration thing and you were finding all the random spots and here and there? And you walk around the wasteland, all of a sudden, bam, someone would just pop up. Here, you're at this location.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like that in Ghost of Tsushima, but you have a fog over the entire map. So you're going to have to clear the fog to do so. And so that's why, for the most part, I've been wearing the traveler's attire, because it gives you more, it clears up more of the fog of the map. So
when
you walk around, right?
So, neat.
So I've been doing that and finding all these little locations.
Remember another game that kind of did something like that, where it's like, you discover more of the area when you're wearing a certain thing. Like, I don't know, if you're carrying your binoculars with you.
Mm-hmm.
More of the area gets revealed or something. I can't remember. There was another game that kind of did that mechanic, depending on what you were wearing. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
So I was I'm finding all these shrines and fox dens and random battles and things of that nature. So I've been liberating villages and taking out Mongol held strongholds, things like that. Talking to random people, they'll tell you another spot on the map, like, hey, this fishing village was taken over. They're using it. They're going to convert it into an area to fix their boats. And then you're like, oh, I need to go stop that. Mm-hmm. So you head across the map and go all over this place. So the reason I've been having a lot of map clearing is because when you open up places, you get fast travel. So I've been fast traveling to the closest spot to the area I need to go. So that leaves a lot of area that you haven't physically traversed yet. So you have to go back and do it manually and open up all the stuff. And that's where I've been finding all these other things like that.
Oh, okay.
So thanks to Josh, who told us last week about charms that give you certain things.
Mm-hmm.
He told us about the charm that gives you more material that you pick up, more supplies, more bamboo, more stuff for your weapons and equipment and gear. Found that, and suddenly, after I equipped it, suddenly every enemy I take out has supplies for me.
Oh,
that
nice.
Wasn't the case before. Mm-hmm. It was hard to find anything on anybody when I took them out. So now that I've had that charm equipped, everybody has something for me. So running out of supplies or running out of equipment is never an issue anymore, ever since I picked that up. So thanks for cluing me in on that. Other than that, more stories, more missions, and things like that to go through. So Lather, Rinse, Repeat. It's more involved this time around. Enemies are going to be tougher. More area spread out. So I got to pull out more traveling to do.
Yeah.
So it's still going to be a lot of discovery and building up until I get to the point where I'm going to be maxed out to get to the to get where I want to be at the end. Story wise, it's starting to pick up because there was a possible spoiler thing, but betrayal happens.
Okay.
And it's not
good.
Yeah,
to keep
not,
it's good to keep that
yeah.
spoilery.
And it's not good. And it surprised me. I had a hint of it when a certain event happened. I looked at it, I was like, man, this feels like a setup. And then bam, it happened. I'm like, wow. Of all people. Really? Yeah. So I had to deal with that before getting to the main part of Act One. And those stories I told you about at the beginning with Sensei Ishikawa and Lady Masako
mm-hmm.
at the beginning, they still extend. You only have, I did like, on, it was like four stories I did for each of them in the first part. And it extends further on into Act Two. So it's probably going to be more in Act Three when I get to that part. But yeah, I'm still finding it interesting and entertaining, real fun, you know, exploring enemies. The fighting is very robust now. And now that I've got all my four stances picked up, now I have the right. Now I get the right stance I need for depending on what weapon I have, weapon I'm going against.
Mm-hmm.
So, spear, sword, brutes, and swordsman. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm having a good time with it. So I'll probably be doing this all of next week as well until I get to the end of it.
Well, you're moving along then, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if the exploration doesn't slow me down, because yeah. There's a lot of map to cover. There's a lot of map to uncover in that game. So I'll be doing a lot of crisscrossing back and forth across the map on horseback until I reveal everything.
Yeah.
Through the fall.
On my end of things, it has been. I played some more Last of Us 2 on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Not much more because. Well, I guess I don't know how much more did I. I'm trying to remember where I left off on Friday night compared to where I picked up on Sunday
and then
how far I went.
Yeah. Now you save it for like the base of the weekends, right? Just before?
I kind of do. Only for the fact that
the end of the week. Really.
Yeah. For the fact that my play sessions are very, they're long stints, you know?
Yeah. I know the feeling because Ghost of Tsushima is a long stint for me. I mean, many hours.
I figure on an open world game like Ghosts, I'd just, you know, okay, I'm good. Save here. I'll tackle mm-hmm. whatever I'm about to tackle, something else.
Yeah.
But for Last of Us 2, it just feels very narrative. I don't like stopping in between chapters.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to a point where this chapter was just going on, and it's like, okay, I need to find my next point where I can stop. It was not in between a chapter. It was in the middle of a chapter. So,
mm-hmm.
But I found a stopping point, and I stopped, and I just haven't picked it back up since, you know, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get far. I got a little bit further. I can say that, and again, I have not finished the game.
Mm-hmm.
If this comes back and it all feeds into, which is I think it's going to,
mm-hmm.
right now it feels like what I am doing is just padding. Padding, padding, padding. We can make the game longer if we add this in. Mm-hmm. Of no real consequence. Although, I don't think that's the case. I think what I am what I am playing and the story that is being told to me is obviously it's trying to get me as the player to feel empathy, to flesh out other characters. And again, I'm being very, very spoiler free, Chris.
Subtle. I like that.
I'm being very, very spoiler free in what I'm saying.
From the reviews and everything and opinions I've seen from a lot of folks, that is where Naughty Dog kind of missed the mark.
Maybe, I don't know. Again, I'm not finished.
Yeah, but you get through. You'll have your own. You have your own feelings about that when you get through it. But from what I've looked at, a lot of folks have said that they missed the mark on that and trying to get you to feel something for everybody else in the Last of Us universe. I mean,
they may have. I don't know. I'm not there yet. Right now, it does feel like padding. Right now, I can see hints of, okay, I see what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're fleshing out these other people. You're making sure that these people are not like one-dimensional characters, you know?
Yeah.
We know...
We're trying to make you care for them.
You know, we know the backstory of our main group here, and you know, the main group, you know, Joel and Ellie, and we know, like, we've spent time with them already in one full game.
Mm-hmm.
We know their story. They are not one-dimensional to us. But when you start throwing in newer characters and stuff and new people into the story, you don't have as much time to flesh them out and make them a part of the world. If you look at, and I can't, again, this will be better for spoiler, you know, open spoiler type talk. But if you look at the first game, it was basically a virus that didn't need the backstory. You didn't need the backstory on the virus. The virus is doing things to people, and you knew your job was to survive.
They told you the first 5 minutes what was going on.
Yeah. And I didn't need these other characters fleshed out outside of them kind of filling in a few little missing beats here and there.
Yeah.
You knew to let me know that this is a friend, this is a foe.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I didn't really need to get much beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that the same thing, you know, I talk about the, well, it doesn't even feel like an illusion of choice. There is no choice in this game. You do what you have to do because survive. You are forced to do.
Survive.
That. Well, no, it's not survival. It's that the game doesn't, no. What I'm saying is that the game doesn't give you an option to survive any other way. Put it that way. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
If you're in a boss fight, there is no way out other than, like, you can't trigger a scenario where you don't have to kill the boss and you can get out. You know what I'm saying?
I've rarely seen that, though.
Right. I rarely
boss
have.
Boss fight is fight.
I get that.
You're going
to
take it
but
out.
But that's what I'm trying to explain to you is that in any other scenario, they don't give you that option.
Mm.
If it is a scripted scene, mm-hmm. things have to play out, whether you have to do the quick time event to make it happen. You know, if you don't do the quick time event to make it happen, you die. If you do the quick time event, the other person dies, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But you weren't given a choice as to, can I avoid this, or does it have to end the way it has to, you know, the way it's gone. It's all scripted to do what it's supposed to do.
Okay.
And so that's what I'm trying to get at, not necessarily that the characters are surviving. I'm talking about the game mechanic, the ones and zeros and everything else. It's like, this is how it's scripted. There is no other way. So I look at, you know, and as much as I talk about not having that choice or that illusion of choice in Last of Us 2, go back to 1, you had the same thing. Like, big spoilers for Last of Us 1. I don't think there's a problem with that right now.
No, it's but, well past the date now.
Yeah. That's 2014 or something. There is the scene where you're rescuing Ellie from the doctors.
Right.
You don't have an option of not killing them. You know what I'm saying? It's not a, you don't have, when you walk into that cutscene where you rescue her, you know, it plays out the way it plays out. I can't remember if you have control over it or not.
If I'm not mistaken, it played out as, was it a spoiler territory? Okay.
Was it Joel, quick time or was it not?
No, I don't think so. I think Joel walks in the room Ellie's laid out on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor's about to perform the procedure. Joel tells him to back off.
Does it fade to black?
No, I think he...
Do we see him kill him or do we not?
I think we see him kill him.
I can't remember.
I think the doctor was insistent on doing the procedure, and Joel popped him, took him out. If I'm remembering right, if I'm wrong, please someone correct me.
Yeah, I'd have to go back. I'd have to go back and watch that just to see
exactly
how it played.
Or just watch it on YouTube. But I think what happened was he busts in the room. Ellie's laid out. He insists on doing the procedure. Joel disagrees and pops him one, and then takes Ellie out of the room. And then Firefly, I forget the Firefly lady, I forget her name, but she confronts him in the parking deck,
mm-hmm.
and they disagree as well, and she ends up dead, mm-hmm. and that's how the game ends. But yeah, I mean, that I think it was scripted. I don't think there was any
I don't even
control.
Think that, yeah, I was going to say,
he was just watching along.
Yeah, I think that was a cutscene. I don't even think you had control over that. So, but still, there's a thing where it's like, this is how it played out. You were not given an option. You were not given a choice.
Yeah.
Anyway, going back to that is that it was basically you versus the virus. In Last of Us 2, it's so long into everything, and I can't remember what the time span is between the two. I think it's something like 4 years or 5 years or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the world is living with the virus, and we already know what the virus is. So now mm-hmm. when you get you're surviving pretty well, you know, on your own and whatever you know, at the compound or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a life there. And so whenever you, you know, put in more protagonists or more characters who are going to fuel a story,
mm-hmm.
Most games don't, but you'd like to have them fleshed out. You would like to have them more than being one-dimensional. I'm evil. Mm-hmm. I did this, or this is my plan to rule the world. Mm-hmm. Stop me, you know, that yeah. sort of thing. And it's given... I'm fine with it so far. I do feel that some of it feels like it is being padded for time. It is being padded to extend the length of the game.
20 to 30 hours from yeah. last I checked, yeah.
But the other part is that I feel like some of the narrative that I'm picking up while doing this padding is filling in... Not really questions I had, but mm-hmm. it is filling in gaps of like, oh, okay, that's something I wasn't thinking about, but yeah, okay.
I guess any other gaps will be filled out in DLC or something like that.
No. It's not that I had any questions or of any of the gaps. What I'm saying is like mm-hmm. just the regular character banter mm-hmm. as you're walking through places or as you're doing little things are filling in not necessarily any kind of plot holes, but filling in the backstory. Without you having to play through a backstory, it's filling in the backstory and trying to put these characters together and putting them in a three-dimensional space of they have their own life, they have their own, you know, structure of,
mm-hmm.
of
their own motivations,
whatever.
Like that,
yeah. yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, I see the necessity of having it in there. I'm not there. I'm not at the end of it yet to say that it was too much mm-hmm. or that it was too little or that it didn't do enough. But we'll see whenever I do get there, which I really just need to hurry up and get there.
Don't force yourself.
I know.
Like I said, don't make it a chore. It's a game.
I know.
Don't make it work.
Well, no, it's not that it feels like it's a chore that it's a game, although as you go through this thing, it does start to feel like, come on. Are we not done with this yet?
Mm-hmm.
It then begins to feel like it's outstayed its welcome. You know?
Is it the same feeling you get when you watch a movie that runs too long? You know, a movie that holds your interest so much that you don't notice time passing. That's a good.
I'm not there yet with it, but it could end up being like the end of, oh God, what was it? There was Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. There was Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. What was the third one? Lord of the Rings.
Okay, I never saw Lord of the Rings. So.
Oh well, like this is not.
But I get the idea. It was a long epic tale, right?
Yeah. In the very end of the third film of the third Lord of the Rings film,
okay,
you are presented with what feels like 5 to 6 different endings. Like, oh, okay, this feels like the end of the movie, and then it fades to black and then fades back into something else. Like, oh, nope, there's still more to talk about. And then that goes away, and it's like, oh, okay, there's the, nope, there's still more.
So we got a series of epilogues going on here?
I don't want to say epilogues, but it's just, you know, it's just...
I mean, it's not like the ending of Clue, is it?
No, 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 no. It just feels like the end, and then it's not. And then it and then whatever comes afterwards feels like the end, and then it's not. You know, the scene builds itself to feel like, ah, this is the...
Oh.
This is when the credits are going to roll. No, they didn't. Okay, we're still going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, we're still going. It just felt that way a lot when I was watching Lord of the Rings. There we go. Anyway, we've come to our first break, and I need to take the break. I don't want to go over on this one, but and I've said enough as I'm going to say as far as Last of Us, because that's all I played. I will talk about just very little of the other things I played when we come back, and maybe some of my PC hunting stuff, my part stuff. We'll talk about
That'd be good.
We have music here mostly. I think this is all mostly new music. There is some, I think there may be one to two tracks that aren't new, or at least they showed up new on Steam. These may have been games that were released on console like a year ago and now finally made it over to Steam. You know, don't take my word for it. They were in the new release section of Steam, which is why I got them.
Speaking of which, new release, I saw Cuphead for PS4.
Right.
Yeah. Just pick that up.
This is a game called Fae Tactics, F-A-E Tactics. Is it Fae? Is that how you pronounce that?
Fae.
Yeah. Fae Tactics. It's the main theme for that. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with more in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. In the category of music you thought you'd never hear on this radio station, music from a game called Fight Crab. Which is exactly what it is, by the way. It's crabs fighting. This is called Night Crab. I didn't know it had lyrics. I had no idea it had lyrics.
You try to shy away from lyrics, right?
I do.
Yeah.
All I heard was that little bit at the beginning. And I was like, oh, this is great. I'm going to use it. And I didn't even know it had lyrics in it.
Yeah.
Had no clue until just now that it had actual lyrics in it.
It sounds a little bit like Guilty Gear.
I know. I'm curious. Maybe I didn't stumble upon the actual soundtrack to the game. Maybe I stumbled upon people who put together like, ooh, this music would go great with this game. I could be wrong on that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Good times last night. Trying to find music. The other games that I played were Destiny. I played that some little bit. What else did I play? Oh, yeah, Animal Crossing.
Mm-hmm.
I spent 2 million in-game currency on turnips on Sunday.
And turned around for a profit?
Then over, the profit was about 18 million.
Nice.
That's a good profit. Mm-hmm. It was a good profit. It was a good day for turnips. It really was. I'm sitting on, I think, 20 million in in-game currency right now. And that's good because I paid off all my home loans that I've done, like when I've done improvements on my home loans and everything else. Or I've done improvements on the house. I've had loans to pay off. I paid those off. So I don't have to pay those anymore. So things are good.
Nice.
Things are good.
Until the next time.
Well, you know, I'm trying to, apparently for the island, I'm trying to, like, build up my island's presence so that this concert dog will come and play a show. And so this afternoon, I finally got word that, oh, you've reached a 3-star rating for your island. And
out of how many stars?
5. Yeah. So 3-star rating for the island is enough to get the concert dog to come play a show at your island. So hopefully when that happens, everything's good. We'll see. Because that's all it's ever been. When I go, like, what should I be doing? And they're like, well, then you should be getting the island together so that we can host this concert. I'm like, okay, how do I do that? Just, you know, make it look pretty. You know, plant flowers. So I went through the entire island. And I picked up every single weed that was growing. And there's a ton. There is a ton. There's probably 500 to 600 of them. You know, on an island that I kind of left. I had picked up around my home, but I really hadn't done much else. And so there was a ton. So I went through and I picked up all of them, which honestly, it doesn't take a long time to do. It's just a bunch of pressing the pickup button over and over and over again. So it was like boom, 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 boom. And, you know, you can get it knocked out pretty quick. And I was just like, okay, because my island's divided by... it's got a river that starts at the top of one part of my island, comes down, and then splits and goes out into the ocean. And so I just use that as like, okay, my island is split up into this many different parts. So let's take care of this part first. And then I would take that part and I would cut that in like half or divide it somehow and say, let's don't go beyond this area here and let's pick up all the stuff here. Okay, good. Now let's do the other side. Okay, good. We've got this section done. Let's go over and do the other section. You know, split that and let's do, you know. So it really honestly didn't take maybe 30 minutes, 30, 45 minutes at most to finish that up. It was just repetitive of picking everything up. Yeah. So, anyway, apparently I was reading up on some stuff because whenever you get the dog thing to come play at your show or at your island, it opens up more options for you. You get to actually do some terraforming where I can kind of fix some of my cliffs and move things around and shape the land and do this other stuff, maybe lay down some paths to actually start to put, actually start to get into the city building aspect of this little tiny island and make it look like, okay, here we go. Here's the neighborhoods, here's the stores and the shops, here's the garden, here's the thing. Just trying to get to that point. I guess. I don't know, because this is my first time playing, but I had looked up stuff about that, so that's what I was trying to do. Anyway, that's what I played, so there you go. What am I going to be playing more of? Well, like I said, I may be playing some pinball, maybe playing some Last of Us, maybe playing, probably playing some Destiny. So, as far as things with computers and stuff, my parts, I haven't picked anything up. I'm still looking at the things to get. You know, I'm still mulling over stuff. I keep watching a ton of videos about a ton of different products.
So you're doing your research, basically.
I mean, I am doing a ton of research. Yep. There's a motherboard that I want, but it is constantly out of stock. And so I'll get an alert, or I'll look on Reddit, on the Build a PC Sales subreddit. And it'll be like, ooh, this is back in stock. You know, and a lot of people say, hey, it's not actually on sale, but because this board is in high demand.
Price goes up.
Yeah. Well, no. And because the board's in high demand, we always tell people when it's back in stock. They don't list it because the price has gone up. The price is actually Apparently for the specs of the board and everything else, it's actually very, very good for its price. Mm-hmm. It's not really a budget type board, but it is one of the cheapest that does a lot of what the more expensive ones do.
Okay, so more bang for the buck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the reason that it's usually not in stock. Mm. It's because it's so cheaper than the others, but does a lot of what the others do.
Looked at it on eBay?
Yeah, no, it's up there on eBay.
Yeah, yeah, it's up there on eBay, yeah.
Yeah, it's like in the $300 thing on eBay.
Yeah. So, when the normal price is what?
$200.
Yeah, something.
So, $219, but on eBay, it's up around $330 or so.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, you just waiting
probably
for
it. Probably going out of stock, yeah. People know how good of a board it is. Someone snatches it up quick, and then, hello, it's on eBay all of a sudden.
Yeah, just waiting for, that is the... I think I spelled that wrong. Oh, come on.
Who's the board manufacturer?
MSI.
MSI, okay. You've always gone with MSI for motherboards?
No, I've never been brand loyalist to a motherboard. Mm-hmm. I've only honestly ever owned... I've owned two motherboards. The one that's currently in my system at home, and then the one that was in my system previous that I can't even remember what that was. Mm-hmm. Going way back to 2006, I think, or yeah. even further back than that. Mm-hmm. The one that is in my machine now is an Asus. Mm-hmm. Or is it Acer? It's one of those it's TUF gaming motherboards.
Tough gaming?
Yeah, something like that.
Probably Asus.
I think that's Asus is the brand. Yeah. But that's what's in there now. And they've got one that's kind of equivalent to that for an AMD processor, but I have not looked into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing about upgrading. Like we talked about earlier, you know, get one part, and this part works best with it, and just try to get it all together so you have the best running machine possible.
Yeah, I'm just kind of, you know, I'm taking my time with it. I'm not really...
It's not a rush. It's not an immediate thing, yeah.
It really isn't. Yeah. It's not a rush for the amount of money that I'm going to be spending on all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of turns into a little bit of a rush.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as you buy these parts... you know, your return policy kicks in.
Yeah.
And so if they're just sitting around not doing anything, you haven't put them together to figure out, do I have a faulty part?
Yeah.
You know, what's the case? So
that's the risk, yeah.
It's very risky to kind of hold on to these things and not do a build so that you can make sure that everything you've got is in working order.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not necessarily waiting for everything to come around, but I am waiting for this damn board to come back in stock. Because, you know, I've got a case. Would I like a newer case? Yes. I should probably get a newer case, only for the fact that the case that I bought back in 2012, you know, has the front panel controls and stuff are far more updated now, mm-hmm. than what it was. Like, I've still got USB 2.0 slots on my front panel of my case, whereas...
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, whereas now it's all 3.0.
Yeah.
Which, you know, first world problems. I understand. That's a very horrible thing to be, like, whining over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
How about cable management?
Most cases are built for cable management.
Yeah.
You're doing pretty good with that. I don't know. There's a lot to it, and I still don't feel rushed, but, you know, I know I need to kind of get on the ball with this, mm-hmm. thing just to make sure that my processor works. Yeah. So.
Another thing that happens is you buy a part, and then it sits there for a minute, and all of a sudden it goes on sale.
Well, I'm fine with that. That's just a part of life. As a PC enthusiast, that's just part of life. You're going to buy a part today that's going to be on sale tomorrow or a week from now or whatever the case might be.
And what's the biggest price drop you've seen?
Oh, good Lord. Hang on. We are getting... there we go. Ear band. Oh, man. Your band. Good Lord. Your band. All right. Sorry. Our chat room on Twitch just got flooded with a bunch of spammers. Nothing bad, just people saying, hey, if you want to get followers and stuff, all you got to do is pay for them, blah, blah, blah. So, anyway, what were you saying? I'm sorry, RJ.
I was talking about the, what was the biggest price drop you've seen? You bought some, like, you bought some when you need it, and then all of a sudden you see it, like, hundreds of dollars less.
As far as what, computer parts?
Yeah, parts and whatnot.
I can't tell you. Man, I built that machine back in 2012. Mm-hmm. The best thing you can do is, like, when you build your rig, stop looking at parts. There's no point in looking at parts anymore once you build your rig. You know, move away from it. You know, and so that's my advice. Once you've got your stuff, don't look at more stuff. You have no reason, outside of anything that you, unless you're going to add onto your system, you have no reason to be looking at. Once you have a processor, a motherboard, a case, a power supply, your graphics card, your RAM, once you have all of that stuff, and storage and everything else, there's no reason you need to keep looking unless you want to add more storage or you want to replace your RAM, which if you just bought your RAM, there's no reason for you to replace your RAM unless you did it wrong, you know, and got the wrong kind of RAM or whatever the case may be. You should not continue to look at that stuff. Keep your ear to the ground on, like, new technology and things. Like, oh, okay, you know, AMD or Intel has a new processor out coming out next time. You know, how's the performance? You know, keep your eye on that, but yeah, you don't have to watch prices once you've got the build done. Inevitably, if you're around a bunch of people who do PC building and stuff, you'll hear about it because somebody at some point in time will be upgrading and will say, oh, I can get this now for blah, 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 blah price, you know. And especially graphics cards are like, I mean, they fall in price. I don't want to say they fall in price fast, but, you know, the 980 Ti that I bought, and in fact, here, I'll tell you how much that cost, because I think I bought it from Amazon. Mm-hmm. Let me look real quick. Again, let me go here. No, that's my 680. I wonder where I got my 980 Ti. Did I get it from Newegg? I wonder if I got it from Newegg. I'm sorry, folks.
I remember the last one I got was a 1060, I think. But it was something for me. It was like, it wasn't exactly top of the line at the time I built my system. It was basically something that was like a few steps back. Everyone was all into the 1070s or whatever, the ones that were higher up, I guess. What's the highest one now? 10 something what?
For what? Graphics cards?
Video cards.
NVIDIA's in the 2080 series right now.
Yeah.
AMD is in, I think, the 50XX series, you know, like the 56, I don't know.
Well, basically what I'm saying is that it was a couple steps back from the top of the line when I got it, you know, something that was still good to have. It just wasn't the premium, but it would last me a long time, being as how long it takes me to go between systems anyway.
Anyway, this looks like the one I bought. I just wish I could find out where I bought it from so I could give you the price. Mm-hmm. Let's see, price when it launched. All right, I'm seeing. There's 2016, which is about the time I bought it, and you're looking at $650 for a graphics card.
Okay,
that game can be, or that card now. Obviously, it's not being made anymore, but you can buy it for about $300 now, maybe less. Man, even in 2018, that card was going for like $650. Wow. This thing did not have a drop.
Is that good of a card, huh?
Maybe. I don't know. You can buy it new now for $540, which is ridiculous. There's no reason you should be buying a 980 Ti. Interesting.
There's got to be something about it then.
Yeah, well, graphics cards usually, it's not that they drop in price so much. It's that your performance per price is horrible. Mm-hmm. You can get a card right now that is the equivalent of that or better for much cheaper than $650, mm-hmm. probably about $400. Mm-hmm. Probably for the price of what that is used, like $350 to $400,
yeah.
you can get a card that is equivalent to that or even a bit more powerful than that. I don't know that number, 833-227-3110. Hang up on that number. Oh, hey, we got somebody calling.
Okay.
And we're getting close to a break here. Hey, you're on in-game chat. Who's this? Hello?
Can you hear me?
I got you.
Okay. How y'all doing today?
Oh, we're doing all right. What's going on, man?
Oh, not much. Enjoying Ghost like RJ is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, that laser active, that laser disc player that plays the video games well, I sent off the packs I own to one of the guys that does a YouTube channel, you know, that pretty well knows how to desolder, you know, components, and he replaced the capacitors and my excellent pack that it was in very good shape. So I was playing one of the other games that was pretty rare recently. Like, the only role-playing game on that system is called Don Quixote, a Dream in Crystals or something like that. Pretty expensive game, but I was had to look at one of the frequently asked, you know, frequently asked questions, you know, guide how to figure out where I needed to go to do this and do that and everything. So I got to a good point and saved it, got jumped into Ghost again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was having fun playing that. It's different from all these old games and stuff like that. It was made in the 90s.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was something else.
It's nice to have all this stuff available online for folks when they have to like get games like translated, like import games, things like that. What does this text say? When they're supposed to tell you something important and you can't figure it out, you know, there's always something online you can find and get for it.
It'd be nice if they ever come out with some type of goggles or glasses that you could put on and know if you're playing a game, you know, with sound or text, and it could automatically read the text and translate it and show up, you know, where you can see what it means in English, where you can enjoy some of these old games if it can, you know, be so advanced where it can recognize something like that and translate it for you.
Yep. Well, yep, until that comes out, we still got to rely on fan-made patches and things of that nature.
Yeah, and translated ROMs that are put on cartridges so you can play them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we need, man.
So you've been enjoying Ghost too, huh?
Yeah, still doing the building up skills and whatnot. Now I'm clearing the fog like I said earlier, and now I'm hunting for predator pelts because I need to put more inventory in my thrown weapons, like smoke bombs and kunai. No, kunai's maxed out. Smoke bombs, black powder bombs, and wind chimes and things of that nature.
That's cool.
Yeah, because I'm taking out a lot.
The same thing. Have you discovered that shrine that's on the east coast?
East coast of the first island or the second island?
In the first area, it's on the east coast where it's a little shrine on the middle of a rock, and you have to cross a bridge to get to it.
Do you know the name of the god it's worshiping?
Hang on. It's called Menden Rock Shrine. You can look that up sometime. Or, you know, but.
Is it the god of water or the god of sun?
I think it's water. I can't remember. But,
okay, god of water. I got that one. Yeah.
But it was, you know, you had to go down the edge of the cliff and everything and then go across the you know, a rope bridge that was in fairly good condition. And then, you know, I can't remember what I got there, but, you know, but it was on the, it was up close to the top of the map where you would eventually rescue your uncle and all, but
yeah,
it is one of the gorgeous scenes around, you know, just pretty scenes around everywhere.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of gorgeous places in that game, the flower fields especially, especially the duel with Kaede in the Uchitsune quest.
Yeah.
When I had to do that, that was a pretty field to fight in, so if Jin didn't make it, well, good place to go, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of duels, have you duel the red, the samurai in the red armor?
Not yet.
It's a funny outcome.
Okay.
I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Jin wins, but not how you would think he would.
Yeah.
It's one of those little like quest, you know, like somebody heard about a samurai in some village.
A random random quest. Yeah, you get the random quest to go set. Random quest tells you location on the map, go there and do whatever, yeah. So
yeah,
I'll find it eventually.
You'll enjoy that one. That one's hilarious.
Okay.
Well, thanks for calling in, Chris. We're about to hit the top of the hour here.
All right. Well, y'all have a good afternoon.
Take care, buddy.
Thanks, man.
All right. Bye.
See
ya. Hey, I did find where I ordered that card. Mm-hmm. I ordered it off a Newegg.
Yeah.
I don't even want to tell you. I will tell you. I will tell you because I ordered it June 22nd of 2015.
Okay.
$696.
Okay. And how long did it last you?
I mean, I'm still using it.
Oh, then you got your money's worth.
Oh, no, of course. Of course.
So good.
I mean, I'm still using it.
If you got rid of that thing after 2 years, we'd have to talk.
Look, as you can tell from my build,
mm-hmm.
the last time I built a PC was in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
All the parts in that machine, except for the power supply unit
mm-hmm.
and the graphics card,
yeah.
are still from 2012.
Mm-hmm. Because it still worked.
So yeah. that's 8 years mm-hmm. of after building that system. The power supply unit failed on me in 2016, I think it was.
Yeah, I just love that happens.
Yeah, I know. So I got a new power supply.
Mm-hmm.
And then my graphics card I replaced, like I said, in 2015. So I kept the old graphics card from 2012 to 13, 14, and then got a new one in 15, which I went from a 680... NVIDIA 680 or an MSI actually an MSI 680 Lightning I think is what it was mm-hmm. to this GeForce 980 Ti that I picked up and let me look and see what people are it doesn't show me what people are selling it for right now. I was curious though. It's got good reviews.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, it's a card that's pretty old, so anyway, I hold on to things, you know, especially
as long as it works. As long as it's still working, you keep using it.
When it's my computer stuff, I do. Yeah, definitely. Now, I did, of course, replace my keyboard after, again, 2012. I replaced that last year.
Mm-hmm.
My mouse, after 2012, replaced that last year as well. Did anything else happen? Did I get anything new? No, that's about it. Yeah, well, I got a monitor at some point in between from 2012 to now. I can't remember when I bought it. Again, mm-hmm. I could tell you because I replaced my old monitor with a, you know, I replaced a 1080p monitor with a 1440p mm-hmm. monitor. Went from a 24-inch to a 27-inch G-Sync and all this other stuff. And
so you bought a TV.
Oh, God, it was great. Oh no, I need to go to my orders.
Mm-hmm. Especially something about power supplies. It's like no matter what the brand is, it's like a crapshoot when it comes to the durability.
2016. So a year after I bought my graphics mm-hmm. card, I got a new monitor.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of money too. Man, it's an expensive hobby.
Three digits.
Yeah, it's three. It's a three-digit monitor. Yes.
Okay.
Thank God it's only three digits.
Okay. As long as it's three digits, we're good.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a three-digit monitor.
Okay.
You can buy it used, new and used, from about $550.
Okay.
So yeah. Ugh. Man. Anyway, let's take a break because we're way behind. This is a game called Made of Skr. Made, M-A-I-D, of Skr, S-K-E-R. This is apparently a horror survival game that I didn't even hear about, but it was on Steam. I think it may be on PlayStation as well. And it's based on some Welsh folklore.
Mm.
When I looked up the title, it took me to a book.
Yeah, a novel by R.D. Blackmore, originally published in 1872.
1872! We got a video game based on a book from 1872!
Mm.
That's the same guy who wrote The Cookie Book.
Let's see.
Lorna Doone.
Yeah. The Maid of Skirts is a three-volume novel by Artie Blackmore, published in 1872, set in the late 18th century. Unravels the mystery of a foundling child washed ashore upon the coast of, Glamorganshire. It was Blackmore's next novel published after Lorna Doone, although he had begun writing it 25 years earlier.
Lorna Doone. When I read that, I was like, I know that title.
Shortbread cookie. That's good eating.
A good cookie. Anyway, here's music from Maid of Skirt. We are way behind. Welcome back to in-game chat. Music here from the game Carrion. Well, hello. That got very...
sudden?
Yeah. Carrion, the main theme from that.
Suddenly, volume.
I know. I really would like to play that. I haven't played it yet. But
yeah.
I played... Actually, I did play it at PAX last year, but... Mm-hmm. Wanted to play more of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome back to the show. We haven't even gone over some news here, and I wanted to cover some news that we didn't get to from last week. That being Rocket League going free to play and leaving Steam. Mm. It is on game. Yes, I know. Carrion is on Game Pass. I know, and I downloaded it actually. I just haven't played it. Rocket League's going free to play and leaving Steam. I don't see how this will hurt them whatsoever. Mm. Rocket League is huge. Added to Steam was Star Wars The Old Republic, a game I put in a whole lot of time for when I played the... I can't remember what Star Wars person I was. I was a commando for the Republic or whatever. I remember because my big weapon was like my big Gatling gun, machine gun thing that I, you know, that was my big germ. But I remember playing that thing, going through the entire story on it, and then doing the Sith side... And enjoying that 1,000 times better than playing as somebody from the Republic. So
yeah.
Oh man. What else we have? A game called Bomb Rush Cyberfunk. When one of the guys on our Discord posted a screenshot of it, and I said, "That's Jet Set Radio.
Yeah,
that's exactly what that is."
The cell shaded artwork, yeah, that's
yeah, and apparently that's all that is. It's just a big, huge homage to Jet Set Radio.
Yeah,
in fact, the original composer of the game of Jet Set is on board to do a Bomb Rush Cyberfunk. We're supposed to get another Ubisoft Forward event in September. We'll see if that holds. And then there was a tease of G4 possibly returning in 2021. Those were the stories from last week that I never got around to getting to this week.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. For this week, though, we got PlayStation Plus games. Fall Guys and Modern Warfare 2 Campaign Remastered.
Mm.
Those are the two free games you'll get with PlayStation Plus. Xbox Live games with gold you're going to get for August. Portal Knights. Override, Mech City Brawl, and then on the 360 you'll get MX Unleashed and Red Faction 2.
Hmm.
Can't say. Maybe Portal Knights would be a cool thing to have there. Mm, let's see what else. Animal Crossing got fireworks, dreams, and island backups in their update that just happened. I have not experienced almost... Well, I did my island backup. I did that today. Dreams I haven't really messed around with. It's really weird because apparently so they give you this bed, and it's a specific bed. So, like, if you put that bed out and you lay on it, it's like, do you want to... Are you just taking a nap or do you want to dream? And you tell it you want to dream. So then it takes you to this place and this character called Luna comes out and starts talking to you and says, oh, hey, you want to, if you want to dream or if you want to put your island out there for other dreamers to visit, you can do that. And it's giving you all this, like, legal mumbo-jumbo. It's like, hey, look, when you do this, people can come to your island. People, and they will have access to this, 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 and this. This is random. You don't know these people. It could be people you don't know coming to this island. It's, you know, all this different stuff. They can't do anything. They can't take from your island. They can't bring you anything. Mm-hmm. They can only visit and wander around. They can't actually do anything.
Okay.
And so I thought, ooh, this is cool. Sure. So I threw my island up there for people to visit. And what I expected was that I would just say, hey, I just want to go visit an island, and it would just let me randomly visit some island. Mm-hmm. No, you have to have a dream address, and it's this chain of digits, because it's Nintendo. And so then I understood, because then I thought, oh, well, I thought my island was just going to be out there for people to see. No. Your island is going to be accessible by your dream address. If you give your dream address out to somebody, then it's possible they could be giving it out to other people, and you could get visitors that you don't know. So yeah. That was their whole point in that. But I thought, man, why? This is horrible. I don't like this. Let me just visit randomly somebody's island. If I can't mess with anything, let me just visit, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. So, yeah, I have a dream address now, whatever that is. Maybe I'll post it or something. I don't know. Fireworks show, I think it's tomorrow. Tomorrow night at 7, there'll be a fireworks show on your island. So I might try and catch that. What else do we have? Cuphead got released just amazingly for PlayStation 4, just out of nowhere. It was announced and released same day. It's like, here you go. Cuphead's now on PlayStation 4. Enjoy. Let's see. Oh, boy. Do I have time? Yeah. Let me talk to you about Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Well, this sounds like it's going to be good.
There was a beta, and a couple of outlets got access to the game. Mm-hmm. Digital Foundry got access to the game, and they did not one of their in-depth analysis of the thing, and I cannot wait when they do. But they posted up a video about it. I've watched that video on my monitor at the house, which is 1440 at 60 frames per second. What I would like to do, actually, is I need to go to my TV that's 4K and watch it there. The subject line of this headline and a whole bunch of others that I kept seeing was, Microsoft Flight Simulator is a once-in-a-generation wow moment. It is amazing. The article, the writer here, which is a guy by the name of Martin Robinson, obviously lives over in the UK, starts out saying, of course, the first thing I do in the new Microsoft Flight Simulator is fly over my house. It's what you do, you know. When I get in this game, I will pick whatever airport is, you know, probably Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Get that airport, fly over, try and fly over my house, you know. Or at least try to see whatever I can see that kind of looks like it's supposed to do that.
Yeah.
He says, heading out from London City Airport in the nimble, aerobatic Extra 330LT and up into the late evening sky to see the sun melt into the horizon. Skimming the O2, which was that, what was that called? The Millennium Dome? The O2 Dome in London or whatever it is. Skimming the O2, then grazing the tips of Canary Wharf's mob of skyscrapers before banking left over the Isle of Dogs, buzzing the Royal Navy College as we head up over Greenwich Park, and then Blackheath as London blooms into parkland south of the Thames. Then it's simply a case looking out for the cluster of buildings that marks Lewisham to the right. I could be mispronouncing a lot of these things. I apologize. Dipping right, then left once again to pick up the Waterlink Way. And there it is, my home, in a video game for what I'm pretty sure is the very first time. I step away from the controls and out into my garden, slightly dizzy from it all, only to see the sky has darkened to the exact same shade of hazy blue as the one I was just flying through. Microsoft Flight Simulator isn't the first game to pull in real-world map or weather data to make for a more authentic simulation, nor is the first game to try and bring us the entire world. But there's an alchemy here that goes beyond bullet point feature lists or plain numbers, blending together to create one of those rare wow moments that come along once in a generation or that maybe herald the next generation. This really is a phenomenal thing. Part of the reason I'm building the PC that I'm building is for that game, is for Microsoft Flight Simulator. I mean, there's some other games that are coming out as well. I mean, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, I'm overdue. You know,
yeah.
It's been 8 years.
Yeah.
I'm overdue on building. And again, I'm not actually going to be replacing my graphics card until I see the new stuff come out from NVIDIA, which is expected in September.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll look over that. My 980 Ti is still getting me along fine. It's the processor. It's the RAM. You know, it's an old processor. It's time to move up.
It's time, yeah.
Yeah. It's time to move up in that department. So I'm not going to be spending the real big bucks on a new GPU until probably later, you know.
Because
I can get by with my 980 Ti and just replace the graphics card whenever I feel like it.
Yeah.
But so one of the reasons I am doing the upgrade that I'm doing is for this game. It is for Cyberpunk, whenever that comes out. In November and stuff. But yeah, that's the reason that I'm doing a lot of the upgrades that I'm doing. But this game here, this thing, man. I wish I could find more parts of the whole thing is worth reading. It goes into the history of Flight Simulator and Microsoft, the relationship they've had, because it's just been that's been the thing. I mean, Flight Simulator has been around longer than Windows has been around, in some form or another.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The immediately apparent improvement is in the visuals. A fascinating blend of machine learning, real-world map, and weather data, plus some smart streaming technology that combines for one of the most visually arresting games of the moment. It's an unashamed focus of this new Microsoft Flight Simulator, and according to the person they were speaking with, it was the number one request from the community. The thing that came out from Simmers was that they're actually quite happy in their Flight Sim space. But they all said the same thing. Why is it that we are so far behind things like Forza? That was interesting. And it was all about visuals. I was like, you know, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Do that they have, as you'll know if you've seen any of the trailers in the run-up to Microsoft Flight Simulator. It is an astonishingly pretty thing, with fulsome shelf-shadowing clouds depositing tangible volumes of rain that, if caught by a sun, that also makes for dazzling dawns and dusks. Can create volumetric rainbows. It's backed up with detail that conspires to make something that looks utterly real. Skyscrapers cast shadows over each other that darken as you reach street level. Cities disperse light at night that radiates the sky, while attention has been paid to make sure the color temperature of streetlights is appropriate. Head away from the cities and you might discover some of the world's great mountain ranges where air currents whip up the slopes, or maybe head to the ocean and witness waves foaming against tropical islands where water's behavior is subject to the weather and the wind. Head even further down to the ground and the grass sways to the same forces while casting the gentlest green glow upon the underside of your plane. Microsoft Flight Simulator can be as beautiful as the Earth itself. Which might be because Microsoft Flight Simulator's aim is to provide as faithful a recreation of the Earth itself as possible. You've probably seen the numbers, and impressive they are. There are some 37,000 airports. An entire world it takes some 14 years to see from the seat of a Cessna, and one that contains some 2 whole petabytes of data all told. Not that you'll have to store all that yourself, of course. Flight Simulator's world delivered via streaming technology. And apparently it's technology that works. It did not work with, I think, Crackdown, or it tried with Crackdown 3.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently this is where they pull it off. It's not a perfect recreation, of course, he says, with buildings being pulled from types, the type determined by a matrix of data from Bing Maps and machine learning, so that the brickwork or architectural style is just about right. Yeah, that's... I can't wait to play this. I cannot wait to play this. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And it'll be out for the Xbox Series X, I believe, on Game Pass. It'll be out on Game Pass when it releases. So, yeah, this is a big thing. Big thing. And it comes out It comes out August the 18th, I believe.
Hmm.
Or maybe it's the 12th. I can't remember. But it's something I am seriously looking for. Looking forward to. But yeah.
Hmm.
So
I was looking up a list of some of the most dangerous airports to try to, the hardest airports to land in.
37,000 airports. Hmm. 37,000 airports. And some which are like completely detailed.
Yeah.
Just like they are. I mean, some of your bigger, more prominent airports. You know, if I want to fly into LAX, I'm going to see very detailed how LAX looks. If I'm going to fly into Danley Field, it's just going to be probably one of their generic-looking airports.
Yeah.
It'll be in the location it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It will not be modeled after Danley Field.
Yeah, it's like, let's see, Princess Juliana International Airport, St. Martin. That one. The one where the planes are like, buzzing the beach.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That one? Yeah. You've probably seen videos of that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because there's beachgoers who lay out there just to see that, just to experience the plane coming
over.
The
jet wash over the...
Yeah.
Wonder if that's in there. I'm trying to think of the one that was issued, like, there was an airport, I want to say it was Hong Kong or somewhere near it.
It was an Asian airport that was on an island, and you had to come at
it. It was like a hard left you had to do at the last second or something.
Yeah,
like
you
that.
Were coming at it from an angle.
Yeah.
And basically, you had very little time from the point the runway came into view for you to straighten back out. You were flying. You can't come at it like head on.
Right. You can't come at it head on.
You have to come around a corner kind of to get to it. And it looks like you're going to kind of, you know, you're kind of going to skid a little bit as you land the plane.
If it was a land-based vehicle, you'd probably drift out of range. Yeah,
you're
going
to drift
like
a little. You have to drift the plane just a little bit as you land.
Mm-hmm. I want to say it was near Hong Kong. Anyone knows what airport it was?
Yeah, I think it was. I can't remember. What else do we have? Splinter Cell. Man, Ubisoft. You will give the rights to your game to make an anime series for Netflix before you will make a game itself. You know? And I'm fine. If it's going to keep the wheels rolling for Splinter Cell, that's great.
Which costs less?
Probably the Netflix series.
There you go.
I mean, I honestly don't know. But then again, I don't know what they've been doing. Have they been working on a new game? I have no clue.
Yeah, I mean, there is a demand for a new Splinter Cell game, right? Please tell me.
Sounds like it's only coming from me. But I know it's not just coming for me. I know there's other people who want it, but I know that we're all just kind of like, they're never going to do it. It's another year where, you know, we think we're getting it, and we're not. We think we're getting it, we're not. So,
is that Lord of Rings thing again?
No. It's not that. No, this is complete lack of hope. This is a complete lack of... I'm no longer in the excited stage or no longer in the anticipation stage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I am in the, you know, we buried him 5 years ago.
Okay.
He's not coming back.
You're in the acceptance phase.
In the acceptance phase of this is just the way it is, and it's not going to change. We're going to change, though, because we've got to take a break. We've got to take a break here. We've got music from a game that... I think I've got it in here. More than 1 million people have played it since it launched this week.
Mm.
in early access and a beta and stuff like that. And it was number, I mean, the amount of people who played it on Xbox Game Pass, the amount of people who played it on Steam, it is massive, massively popular. It's the Obsidian game called Grounded. Hmm. Basically, it's Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the game.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So this is the main menu theme. We're going to take a break here. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to in-game chat. Music here from a game called Dawn of Man. That's the only game that hadn't released. I don't know when it released, to be honest with you. Somebody was playing it on Steam, though, last night. So, or got an achievement off of it or something called The Dawn of Man. So, exactly know when that came out.
Um, 2018, I think?
Could be.
Yeah.
Wasn't familiar. I was just like, I wonder if it's got soundtrack. And it does. Well, then I'll use it because I only need one song.
From Madruga Works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where were we? Talked about Splinter Cell. Okay. I meant to talk about this last week and I never did. These papers here.
Mm-hmm. What you got?
Well, we had talked about my Switch when I sent it off for repair.
Right.
Anyway, when I got it back, this is all the stuff that came with it. I mean, it was in a big box, but the unit itself was in here.
Mm-hmm.
Without the controllers, those were in a separate bag that was in the box with it. The front of this says factory certified product. This product has been individually inspected and tested to ensure it is of the highest quality. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, did they replace? Does this mean they replaced it? There's nothing on there that tells you, hey, we've replaced it. There's really not even, well, there is, but I'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much that just says, hey, your unit was replaced. It was defective. We got your brand new unit here. So this comes from Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sending your console to Nintendo for repair. I'm doing this in case anybody does have to send it. This is what you can expect to get back. Please read the boxes checked below for post-repair information and or instructions. The box, there's a bunch here. One box says a battery that was low in voltage may have caused the problems you experienced. Another one says an unknown substance was found in your system. Another one says due to the malfunction, we aren't able to recover any data associated with your system. And gives you a bunch of instructions. Your user information, which includes game save data, blah, 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 has been loaded onto your repaired, replaced system. Another one says after thoroughly testing your Nintendo equipment, we could not duplicate the problem you experienced. So we have either repaired or replaced the components, tested, and returned your Joy-Con controllers that are fully functional, blah, blah, blah. The one that is marked on mine says, we have verified your problem and repaired or replaced the defective components. This does not tell me if I'm using a new system or not. I say a new system, but you know what I mean. Oh, the rest of this is just in a different language.
It's kind of vague, that statement, isn't it?
It's vague until you get to this one here. This one comes from a company called United Radio.
Okay.
They are an authorized subcontractor for Nintendo of America. Repair order number, service date, 6/26/2020. Enclosed is are your repaired system components. This is a statement of repair services rendered. Diagnosis and replacement of all defective, worn, or marginal components was performed, including extended testing for reliability per the manufacturer's specifications. That's the top part. Mm-hmm. You get down here to the bottom part. Service performed. Clean, tested, and inspected all components. Exchanged main unit.
Okay.
So, yeah. I have a new main system.
Yeah.
Probably a new Joy-Cons that came with it, too. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Nintendo of America guarantees the service performed for 100 days from the date of the repair or replacement. So that's how I finally got around to figuring out, do I have a different system, or is this mine, and they just fixed it, or what was the case?
Mm-hmm.
Exchanged main unit. So after all of this, it gets down to this United Radio guys.
Yeah.
Not even this statement up here. It's the one at the very bottom that actually says, we
swapped it out.
Exchanged the main unit. Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to give people an idea of when you send your system off, this is what you're going to get back, depending on what they had to do or what was done. So,
yeah.
I brought that with me last week to go over that because we had talked about, we had talked about it, and I was still unsure of, like, I don't know if that's my system. I think they replaced it, though, but I wasn't sure. So that's what you can expect whenever you have to send it off.
Ooh. Yeah,
Lethal Migraine put a link.
Put a link to the. Yeah, I was about to mention that he put the all the airports in a flight sim, and I'm looking at it now.
Microsoft Flight Simulator, airport list, trailer, edition bonuses, release date, graphics, blah 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 blah. New planes and airports trailer, Flight Simulator airports. Standard edition, you get the Aspen County Airport in Colorado, one out of Indonesia, an airport in Peru, France and Ireland, Donegal Airport in Ireland. You also get Uganda, Portugal, Gibraltar, Austria, LAX. That's another one. One in Nepal, one in Alaska, JFK International, Orlando International, Charles de Gaulle.
Mm-hmm.
What else is in there? Australia, Rio de Janeiro. SeaTac. SeaTac is in there. Seattle, Tacoma. Sedona out of Arizona, Sydney Airport, the one in Colorado, Telluride Regional.
I think it was on that list. Telluride was one of the dangerous airports to land in. Telluride was one of them, yeah.
There's Cairo. There is Cape Town. There is O'Hare. Mm. Denver International Airport. I wonder if you can see the big blue demonic horse from the Denver airport.
Excuse me?
Have you never looked at the Denver? Look at the Denver. Go to Denver International Airport.
Okay, hold on a second.
I don't know what they call him, but he's blue. And he's got red eyes at night.
Huh.
Yeah.
Just the thing when you have that long flight.
Uh-huh. You're greeted by this demonic blue horse with red evil eyes.
That thing.
Yeah.
Look, I want to say it looks like the Broncos' old logo before they changed it in the NFL. But I see the night picture and the day picture.
Yeah, right?
Oh, that's, what a world of difference that is.
I know, right? I would rather see it in the day all day. Like, can we never turn the lights off here?
Whose idea was this?
You should look at other, look into other aspects of the Denver International Airport, dude. There's a lot. There's murals that are in there. There's tunnels and stuff. There's all sorts of, Denver is a weird airport.
Oh, apparently his name, Blucifer?
Blucifer, that's what I was trying to think of the
okay.
name.
Okay.
I was trying to think of the name.
The Blue Mustang sculpture at the Denver International Airport is often called Blucifer,
Blucifer,
or the Demon Horse because of its glowing red eyes. The nicknames are also due to people thinking it's haunted because the artist died after a 9,000-pound piece of the sculpture fell on him.
Okay, yeah.
Goodness. So it's blue, it's intimidating, and it's cursed, apparently.
Blucifer.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. God, there's a bunch of airports. I'm sorry.
Yeah, look, I'm looking at the link Lethal Migraine gives. Thanks, by the way.
Except that's not 30. That's not 3,700 airports.
Yeah.
So that's not a full list of all the airports that are in there. Unless, of course, there's a link here that takes you to a full list.
Yeah.
And I haven't, because I'm just skimming right now. So,
you know, DLC or something like that. Something afterwards or whatever. Yeah. But
Blucifer.
Yeah. Lucifer.
I love that. I love that.
I never heard of, I've never heard of this thing until.
I'm surprised you haven't heard of this till now.
No, I mean, I heard it had like the Denver had some like artwork all over the place, but that
there
was
are
all
there's some strange artwork in that airport.
Okay, but I didn't know about the big blue demon horse with the red eyes. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. A couple of other news things to hit here. EA has signaled that they are considering buying WB Games or acquiring WB Games.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, I swear, and you know what? Let me look at this article real quick to see if there is anything about, because I thought WB was going to have a thing in August. I know that they're having something in August related to comics and stuff, but I wanted to say that the video game section was going to be done as well. No, it doesn't say anything. Brothers. Come on now. Here we go. Let's see if there's anything. Yeah, there we go. Warner Brothers game announcements. Warner Brothers DC FanDome is a digital event coming this August. The event will be the best place for DC fans to learn about film, TV, comics, and video games. New WB titles are expected in the coming months, including a new Batman and Harry Potter RPG. Oh, God, it's still far away. August 22nd. The 24-hour stream that is to be held on August 22nd promises to be an immersive virtual fan experience. So... yeah, we still got a while to go before that thing is done. So. Mm-hmm.
Still looking at it.
What, Denver Airport?
Blucifer.
No, Blucifer? Yeah.
Yeah.
Blucifer. Hey, there was a... So, watching Microsoft's game showcase event a couple weeks ago or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I'm watching there and I'm talking with James while I'm watching it. And I see Rare's logo come up.
Okay.
And it was for that that nature game with the, I can't remember what it's called, Ever Wild or Ever Wind or something like that. I can't remember what the name of it was. But when the Rare logo popped up, I was like, man, weren't they working on Battletoads? Like, I remember being at an E3. And keep in mind, I hadn't gone to an E3 since, like, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember being at an E3 where, at Microsoft's booth on the show floor, there was this big life-size statue thing of one of the Battletoads. I do not know which one. But one of the Battletoads there. People were taking... I probably have a picture of it on my phone. I don't know.
Did you have sunglasses on?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I would have to look at my...
I'll say Rash because he was the one in Killer Instinct.
Here, I will. I know you know these more than I do, so let me look. Let me go to Los Angeles. And let me see. Let's go to the last time I was there. See, that's 2015. 2015. These are all videos. I'm not looking for videos.
You just want a picture of the one that you had, right?
Yeah, but I got a bunch of videos here for some reason. I don't know why I have videos. I shouldn't have. I don't remember taking all these videos. Really? That's it? Can't be right. That cannot be right.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't take a picture of it. I do remember seeing one, though.
Well, yeah, I'm guessing it's going to be, since it's rare and Killer Instinct, they had one of the Battletoads in it. I'm guessing it had to be Rash.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's what it was for, the Killer Instinct edition.
Yeah.
Maybe they, because they added him in Killer Instinct, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that might have been the reason. That might have been the reason. But anyway, I thought they were working on one, and here we go. We got a trailer with a release date of August 20th for a new Battletoads game.
Yeah.
Looks all kind of arcadey. Doesn't look half bad. It's going to be on Xbox Game Pass, so I can play it for free. I say for free, but whatever. I'm a subscriber. So, yeah. BioWare's taking another shot at Anthem. Good luck. I still have no interest in whatever they're going to do to it. I would still have no interest. We talked to you about Grounded. More than 1 million players have tried Grounded so far in early access. That's amazing to me. Because that game did not look like anything I wanted to play. But it's a survival adventure game from Obsidian. 1 million players since it entered early access. The game was made available through Xbox Game Preview and Xbox Game Pass and Steam Early Access this week on July 28th. It quickly became a Steam bestseller the day after it released and has mostly positive reviews on the service. During the early access phase for Grounded, players are encouraged to provide feedback, blah, 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 blah. Grounded is a co-op survival game, which can also be played in single player, where four children get shrunk down in size and must defend their backyard from bugs by crafting and building defenses in order to grow back to normal size. Players must gather, craft, and build bases with everyday objects found within the yard, search for resources, and live alongside giant insects. Lethal Migraine says it is still number one right now. Stuff like this makes me kind of want to, like, hey, let's see what the hype's all about and jump in there just to see. And then, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that. This was interesting to hear about, and it was yesterday that it broke. Halo Infinite is going to have free-to-play multiplayer. Right now, if you're playing multiplayer on Xbox, you need to have, you know, a gold subscription.
Yeah, gold subscription, yeah.
Apparently you don't for that game. Halo is for everyone, said the tweet. We can confirm that Halo Infinite multiplayer will be free-to-play and will support 120 frames per second on Xbox Series X. More details to be shared later. This follows recent rumors that Halo Infinite would bring its multiplayer out from behind the paywall, information that first leaked via since-pulled details on a store listing. Only two elements of the full leak were confirmed today, however. The leak originally noted Infinite would have free-to-play multiplayer, 120 FPS on Series X, and a Battle Pass system and a new character customization option. Both the Battle Pass and customization remain unconfirmed, but if true, the former feature would explain how Halo Infinite would monetize a free-to-play multiplayer mode and bring the game in line with the many others that are opting for a Battle Pass system rather than purely microtransaction-led monetization. Lethal Migraine says Xbox Live Gold is going away, and I believe it is as well. The thing is, I don't understand Microsoft's, I don't understand their ways of doing things. How do you not mention this during your big game showcase? How do you not mention these little bullet points? And I figure it was a leak, so I guess they had to address it.
Mm-hmm.
But what were they saving it for? You know? When were they saving? Were they saving it for a later reveal, some other time? If you weren't, then why didn't you do it at the thing? It's a big deal. The player base for Halo is huge. So, and this is going to be played across the Xbox One, the Xbox Series X, the PC.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal. Big deal. How do you keep that quiet? How do you not reveal that at your thing? Were you not ready to? Did you have it planned for something else? If you had it planned for something else, what? And when?
End of the year, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, were you going to announce that? Were you going to have another like showcase where it's going to be like, oh, by the way, it's free. Plus, we're getting rid of Xbox Live Gold.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Lethal Migrant says he thinks it was going to be mentioned for something coming up in August. Their August event is supposed to be hardware and services. You're probably right. I want to say they had it in their pocket for something, but they just went ahead and revealed it. And they probably went ahead and revealed it because the talk around Halo Infinite wasn't positive.
Mm.
The talk about Halo Infinite from that reveal was, does not look good.
Mm-hmm.
This game does not look polished.
Mm.
Graphics gold, you know? Doesn't look next gen or whatever. You know, it just looked, it had a look about it. And so I think one of their things was put that out there. Maybe they'll shut up so much about the looks, and they'll just be glad they're going to be able to play it for free or multiplayer for free.
Yeah. Distraction. Huh?
Yeah, I guess. I think so. Maybe something like that. So, Sekiro is getting a free update, by the way. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. I haven't loaded it up in a minute. I'll probably just hit the update function on that thing.
Completely out of the blue, Activision and From Software today announced a free update for Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice, coming to all versions of the game on October 29th. You mm-hmm. got some time.
Okay.
It's not story DLC that people were hoping to see, but it does bring a few neat additions. First, there's the Reflections of Strength, accessible at any of the sculptor's idols.
Mm-hmm.
These are essentially rematches with any of the game's bosses that you've already defeated, infinitely repeatable.
Okay.
The update also introduces Gauntlets of Strength, single life challenges, though the developer didn't reveal any more details beyond that. Another big addition coming with this update is the arrival of a passive online multiplayer component. Enter Remnants, an amalgamation of player messages and ghosts seen in other FromSoft games.
Dark Souls.
At any point after the tutorial, all players will be able to record 30 seconds of their actions and upload them for others to watch.
Okay.
This can be anything from boss fight data to tricky jumping spots, guides to secrets, and so on. The uploader will be able to leave a message for others to read as they watch. If another player rates your remnant, you'll get some of your lost HP back or a free healing gourd refill. Finally, the update is bringing new outfits for the wolf, available at any sculptor's idol. You'll find three to change into, and it gives them a description. Yeah, okay. Two of those can only be unlocked by beating the aforementioned gauntlets, and the third is a reward for anyone who finishes the game.
Mm. Motivation to finish what I started with that game, yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember how in Dark Souls, I think Bloodborne was like it too, you would leave a comment or a hint on something for someone else to read about, and if someone rated it, your health meter would instantly refill completely if someone...
Yeah, it seems like that's what they're doing. They're just bringing that back over.
They're just bringing it back over.
Which is fine. That's, yeah.
So. Yeah. Anyway. I think the best one I ever had was in the middle of a fight I was in. I was like 25% health left, and I was like low on Estus, and all of a sudden someone said one of your comments was rated, and my health was like back to full. I'm like, I'll take that.
That's always nice, isn't it?
Yeah, very nice. So he started leaving more comments after that.
Man, where did my... I'm sorry.
What are you looking for now?
I'm looking for my document. I closed it by mistake.
Oops.
Now I can't find it.
Oh, well.
That's weird. Like, it shouldn't go away. There it is. Jesus. Okay. I'm only saying that because we're out of time. We got to go. We're done. And I just couldn't find it. And I have to have my script because I don't remember. What I'm about to say now is all written down. I've never had to memorize it. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room and also listening on the stream and on the radio here on News Talk. Thank you so very much. Thanks, everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes. However you get our show for later use, we appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube channel. You're watching us on Twitch. Subscribe there. Subscribe to YouTube, Steam group, Discord, all that fantastic stuff. Thank you all so much for joining us. Have a fantastic National Pinball Day. Enjoy your week, and we will see you next Saturday. This is music from a game called Other Side. It's called Long Nightmare. Bye.